Welcome to Uncle Bob's Magic Cabinet, a mother-daughter podcast about all things magic and mythology and pop culture. Everyone, I'm Liam, the daughter.
I'm Laura, I'm the mom.
What's going on?
What's happening?
Nothing. Here we are.
Nothing and everything.
I've been dreading this one. Oh yeah. No, it's me. Yeah. We were taking bets who was going to cry first. It's totally me. I'm already, oh my God. I was like, I'm going to try not to cry, dumbass.
30
Someone seconds clocked that. In. How long was it?
Not even 10 seconds.
My voice does still sound weird because, yeah. Oh my God, I don't know if just you've from been crying. All of the crying. Yeah. I'm like having a little bit of an issue over here. And then I reached a point where I cried so much that I don't think there were any tears left. TM, Ariana Grande. But then like nothing would come out and my face would just contort.
Did you get some pics
kinda
of
like
that?
Toni Collette in Hereditary? Like I was very much, yeah,
summoning just, the Toni Collette
I was
energy.
Like, I can feel that my face is trying to cry. Did Cameron it hurt? Diaz in The Holiday.
Did your face hurt? Oh yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, my face hurt really bad. Yeah, killer fucking headache. Like I've never had. But I've never cried that much before in my life. So I'm probably gonna cry today. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
We have a lot of new listeners. Hi.
We do.
Hi. If, you know, you are new here, we do have some episodes in our history that are a little bit of hard listens, you know, because we like to keep things very honest.
Real.
We're human.
We don't sugarcoat.
We go through human things. Stuff happens. Stuff hurts. And because we sit down with you and we genuinely, you know, like you're our friends. You're our community.
Yeah.
We're honest about the painful stuff. And so this one's probably going to be one of those. We're going to try to celebrate. We're going to try to.
Yeah.
But it's probably going to be a little sad. And I will say if you have a pet and you get very uncomfortable. Comfortable or like triggered by talks of
pet talk
of pets dying
because instead of TED talk, pet talk,
pet talk. Okay, TM. I would totally watch it. Just dogs up there doing nothing but barking. Yeah. I know that I like it. This was one of my biggest fears was something happening to Nanook.
Yeah.
So I could never like, I couldn't watch movie scenes where stuff was happening. Like, so if you get, you know, like that, I totally understand you might want to skip this one or at least the intro. Cause I am going to, you know, tell you what happened because there are a lot of people
that have reached out and we appreciate. Out. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a really nice reminder. Like so many people loved him.
Yeah.
And I didn't know.
And that he was such a part.
That he was like such a character on the show. I mean, it makes sense, right? Yeah. We have not recorded a single episode of this show, I don't think, where he was not at our
feet. In between.
Feet. I have so many pictures of his face just sticking out from our chair.
Yeah.
Like he insisted on being here because, and we'll get to it, he was attached to me. Like fucking, oh my God.
And today of all days, it's like 28 degrees outside. My feet are cold.
Oh my God. That, at night when I sleep, I'm like, wow, my feet are so cold because he was like such a big animal. He was a husky, right? Like he was bigger than like I think we realized and he threw off a lot of fucking heat. I'm like, my fucking cams are cold. What am I gonna do?
I don't want to. I'm gonna get you some Irish wool socks.
I'm gonna knit a sock. I'm gonna knit some socks from his hair that is still gathering. That will
never.
This
that will never be gone. That will never be gone.
It better not be. No. I realized I was like, I'm gonna be crushed. Like if there comes a time where I don't see his hair. Oh no. See. Oh my God. You know what? Everyone just stop and get yourself. If you drink, get an alcoholic beverage.
Get a tissue.
Get a joint. If you're somewhere where that's legal, get a tissue. And, you know, smack it every time we start to get too emotional.
Settle in. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
It's going to be a bumpy ride.
I'm really going to try not to cry. You know, I don't like it.
Listen, if you're not new here.
Yeah.
you know what this dog meant to this family. And I'm going to speak for Jake as well. He wanted to be in here, but October is so loud and rambunctious that he wouldn't be able to hear us.
That's right.
But I'm going to speak for him too, because this is important. You know how much this dog meant to us.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you have an animal, you know, what I mean? I'm not going to say like, I love my dog more than anyone has ever loved an animal. Right. Of course it feels like that, but we all know.
Right.
Like we've all absolutely felt it. This sucks, man. Yeah. This sucks. This is really hard. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have not, I forgot how to move without him attached to me. Right. 'Cause he literally, I was not anywhere where without this dog was not, like, he was right next to me at all times. For 10 years. Yeah. So me and Jake got him like 2 months into our relationship. So me and Jake have been together for 10 years, and that's how long we had Nanook. Like, we've had him our entire relationship. And I don't know. He was our familiar. Yep. I think like he was meant to be with us. No one wanted him.
No. Yeah. That's an important story.
Yeah, we did get him from a pet shop, which I know is like, you know, fucked up. And that was not our intention, but we just walked in there for something on, you know, when we were on a date one night.
Yeah.
When I saw him and I was like, oh fuck. Like that dog is meant to be my dog.
Yeah.
Like I could just tell instantly.
Yeah.
But like he was really big for a puppy and no one wanted him. And he was like a little shit. He kept escaping his crates and he was really loud and he was just a pain in the ass.
And nobody wanted him.
And I don't know. I felt like that like my entire life. Like nobody wanted me. And so did Jake. And so it was just like us three came together and we just became a family. Like it was just what was meant to be was meant to be with us. Like I always say, no one would put up with our shit that wasn't him and vice versa.
Right.
Like, if we brought any other dog into this household, they'd be like, fuck no, y'all are fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And if anyone else had that dog, they would have been like, absolutely not.
Because he would have had several owners.
We're talking about a dog when he was like 2 years old, he swallowed a sewing needle. He was known at the vet as the dog who swallowed the needle. Luckily I saw him do it and he was just, oh my god, he was so mischievous. He was a husky. I mean, all huskies just have that, like, you know what I mean? They're so fucking goofy
and mischievous and absolutely,
and just loud, like, oh my god, was he.
And he was anxiety ridden, so he was your dog.
No, we were like the same.
Yes.
Yeah, we were each other's emotional support.
Yes.
Yeah, both absolutely very anxious beings. Mm-hmm. But then we came together to just like comfort each other.
Be one anxious ball of mess.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. So this is just really hard. I mean, he passed away at home.
Yeah.
That's, you know, we woke up and we noticed something was wrong. He wasn't sick or anything. He had just been to the vet.
Clean bill of health.
They said that he was the healthiest dog they'd ever seen. And we were like, holy shit, really? Because, you know, he's 10. We were really, you know, surprised and happy. And then we woke up one morning and he wasn't at my feet.
Yeah.
And I knew, like, literally, like, for 10 years, dude, you've been at my feet when I opened my eyes. And so I could tell something was wrong. And then just by the afternoon, guys, I don't know what to say. He died in our arms. It just happened very, very quickly before we really could tell that something was wrong. It was, it was over. Like, it just, we didn't have, you know, which he was not showing us that he was in any pain. He had that same goofy ass look on his face.
It's actually the calmest he'd ever been in the 10 years.
That's what I said, for a fucking,
that's how you knew something was wrong.
For the most chaotic dog I have ever met, he had the most peaceful death, which, you know, you really can't
thankful
ask for anymore.
For,
he was just, I was holding him. Jake was right above us. He was looking right at me. And that was just it, you know? And I know, I hate to, you know, we don't really know what happened. They said probably a heart issue that we just didn't know about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and that it happens. And it shocked me because I just, I don't know, it just happened so fast. And I've never really heard anyone talk about it, but, you know, I don't want to scare people because I know that's so scary. But, you know, that's what happened. It was just his time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But he got to go at home October was playing around him.
Yeah.
I said, poor thing had to go to the sounds of Miss Rachel, you know? Oh, man. Jules yes. was singing the Krabby Krab song. He's probably like, you know what? I've had enough.
I'm taking myself out.
It's time to go.
Yeah.
But he was with us, like, you know, we didn't have to make any hard decisions. He wasn't, you know, mm-hmm. it didn't seem like he was in pain. And, you know, it sucks to say, but like, we're really grateful for that, you know?
Yeah. If he had to leave us, that was probably the most, you know, humane way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At home with us in his blankets and it just, you know, so...
Mm-hmm.
With that is the biggest. I'm gonna try to fucking like get it together,
right?
But I know that, you know, a lot of people have been asking what happened because you guys liked him too, you know. He mm-hmm. if you listen to the theme song, that's him howling,
right?
I mean, he was very much, you know, like, we lost one of our own, like, it's he was not a background character in this family. He was a member of this family.
Front and center.
We, like, when I say that me and Jake really prioritized that dog, like, mm-hmm. we took him everywhere. I think that we've lost friends over this dog, because like, if you invited us somewhere, we were bringing the dog,
and if he couldn't come,
then we weren't coming. And right. I do think that it's like, you know, we have really just prioritized him. He's come on every trip with us. He has gone on so many adventures, like, when I was looking through pictures, I was like, wow, like, we really did get to just see so much with him. And he was so happy, like, he loved to
be on adventures.
He loved to be on the road, loved to stick his head out of the car. Mm-hmm. When we traveled to Seattle and back, he was just having a fucking blast.
You and Jake. Yeah.
He loved water. He mm-hmm. just loved to run. And we really did, like, in the 10 years we had with him, we saw so much. Yeah.
You were telling me the story where you had to pay extra for an Uber.
Oh my God.
Because he went along.
Our good friend, when we lived in Seattle, our good friend Lex came to visit from Canada. She brought the syrup. I always have to get syrup in there, the maple syrup. And she wanted to go to Twin Peaks. So we went. Mm-hmm. And this was, you know, after our car died. So we only had one car. It was, you know, a long thing. But we get out to Twin Peaks. And then, you know, we brought the dog. Obviously, the dog was coming.
He loved it there.
Oh my God. He loved Seattle. He loved mm-hmm. Twin Peaks. He liked the woods there.
Yeah.
So we had to, long story short, we had to take an Uber back to our apartment. And it was me, Jake, and Lex in the back seat with Nanook spread across all of us. The Uber driver was fucking insane. And he was whipping that fucking car around. Nanook was like sloshing back and fucking forth. And he was huge. And we had to pay like the amount of money I have spent extra to, like, every hotel had to be dog friendly.
Yeah.
Like, he stayed at the Golden Nugget with us. That's Las Vegas. Right. Catch me walking him through the casino like this motherfucker.
The B&B in Forks, Washington.
Oh my God. Those
extra.
They fucking charged me super extra. They were like, this dog was really hairy and we're going to need some extra money. And I'm like, so we really just, he came everywhere. He was our family.
Yeah.
Like, and you know that because you've seen him, you've heard him.
It's like, I'm spending it with my family and that's him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he couldn't come somewhere, we really didn't go because we just wanted to be with each other.
Right.
Like, that's all.
Yeah.
You know, and this, I feel bad because this last year, you know, if you've had a baby, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's postpartum is really hard. And I went from having one, you know,
baby
attached to me at all times and to two. And it was really hard. And I know that, you know, he probably felt left out a lot. I mean, it just changes the dynamic because you have a new person in the house.
Yeah.
And I feel bad.
He's like, hey, I'm used to being front and center.
I know. I said that he just decided that because he couldn't be front and center anymore. He was like, it's time.
They were competing.
Time to close my eyes. He passed on the first day of Scorpio season. So what the fuck are you fuckers doing to my dog? You menaces.
Oh my goodness.
He was a Libra. So he, you know what I mean? He's like, and I will say, like, we got one last really good walk with him. The leaves were so beautiful. Like, it was the
beautiful day. beautiful.
The last perfect fall day. And you know what I mean? Like where the leaves are just all perfect.
Yeah, the
and
colors.
Then the next morning it's all
they
gone.
They were all on the ground.
Yeah. And I don't know, since he passed away, it just seems a little less like sparkly out there. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't tell if that's me.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I think a little bit of both.
Yeah, it's definitely less fun.
Yeah.
He brought some crazy fucking energy to this to this house.
He sure did, but he's home now.
He's home, yeah. So, yeah, we got to bring his ashes home on Samhain. We got the call on Halloween, and it was really hard not having him here. Like, I just wanted him home, you know? Yeah. And so we got to do that on Samhain, and it just felt very
magical
and special. And
so he's still between us here in the chairs.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna lie to you, he's under my feet. I'm not gonna lie to you. Jake's like, do you want him in the room? I was like, yeah. So he still has not missed an episode, really. Come on,
there you go.
So here's the thing. We had planned for our Halloween episode,
serendipitous,
to do a Fuck Up Friday.
Yes.
And Laura had picked the Lost Boys. Mm-hmm. She knew that's what she wanted to do.
Yeah.
And you can go if you think we're lying. So we had this plan for like a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
On Patreon, I put up Laura's doing the Lost Boys. What do you want me to pair with it? So that's the proof.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spoil what they picked because I am going to do that for the next Fuck Up Friday.
Yeah.
But we thought, because this was Nanook's episode,
mm-hmm.
we're going to just focus on the Lost Boys because it felt like that was his, you know, he was saying, hey, I'm still front and center here. Right. I'm going to need
I'm going to need my moment.
I'm going to need my moment.
That's
thank
right.
you. Before we get into it, we do have a new patron to thank.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Kristen Walker Art. Welcome to the family.
Welcome.
Ooh, I am intrigued by that name as well.
Spring, check it out.
You had me at art. Welcome. That's so cool. If you want to join the family, go check out what's going on Patreon.
Yes.
We have like live chats now that are going, and those are super fun. So you can like chat with us, chat with everyone.
Yeah.
It's really cool. So go check out Patreon.
Yes.
Rate us on Spotify and Apple.
5 stars, please.
Wow. You know what? Am I giving Brooke Davis with my raspy voice?
Are you?
I like to think so. I like to think so.
Bros over hoes. No, hoes over bros. What is it?
The complete opposite of what you said, Lore. All right, are you ready to get into it?
Yes.
Okay, so we decided that I am going to take the plot and like the fun facts, and Lore's going to do the lesson.
Yes.
Because we had a lesson like as soon as, you know, Nanook passed and we were looking at the fact that this is what we were supposed to be talking about. We knew what we wanted kind of the lesson to be. And I said, Lore, I can't do it.
I can't do it. You take it.
You take it.
Yeah.
I'm too weak. I'm in mourning. If you are new here, this is my absolute favorite movie
of all time.
This is a Fuck Up Friday of sorts because I did cover this
way early.
Back. Was it in like the first 10 episodes?
I think so. Yeah.
Way to blow your fucking wad.
Yeah.
Lee. Here's the thing. That episode is trash.
And
don't
listen
to that one.
Was it like right before we moved to Seattle?
It was right before we moved to Seattle. I remember we were like in the middle of packing. It was not the time to do your absolute favorite movie.
Yeah.
And we hadn't established like our groove yet.
Yeah.
And
we didn't even have a lesson or anything.
We didn't have our format. And so I have like pretty much every day of my life since then have
regretted
thought about
it.
How disappointed in myself I was. Because I will say doing movies or like topics that are really close to you are so hard. They're so hard I feel like
the
you have so
ones.
Much to say
so
and you
much
can't
to
possibly say it all.
Can't say it all. And you want to do it justice.
You want to do it justice.
You want to do it the justice that will make people say, oh my gosh, I'm gonna
go now
and watch this movie.
I have to consume it. Right.
Yeah. And it's
really
giving them a piece of yourself because
that is so this one is a really good example of that because this shows why this movie is so important to me. And it really is like opening up a piece of yourself because I don't know about you, but when someone tells me like their favorite movie song, I go and I really look at it because I feel like you can learn a lot about a person by their favorite
yeah,
pieces of pop culture. I mean, I don't know. That's just very Rob high fidelity of me. This speech,
Robbie Rob.
But so this is that for me, like this is the big shebang. This is, if I had to watch only one thing for the rest of my life, it would be this movie. And it's interesting because sitting down, I was like, all right, Lee, separate yourself from it. Like, does this movie hold up?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, try to separate. And like, yeah, it fucking does. This movie is so fucking good.
It's so good.
If you have not seen this movie,
I watched it last night just so I could be on par with you. And I was like, I still remember every line. And you know what? The jokes still land.
The style is still fucking styling.
Well,
they're all still good looking, minus Marco. Okay. You know what? And Paul. Paul's looking a little rough this time. I'm sorry. I do have permission to roast
today
because I'm in grief. So none of you can say anything to me.
She's going
to
ride this one for a while.
I am going to ride this one. I had very much like, I was very much Matthew Lillard at the end of SLC Punk this all happened.
Yeah.
It was like just not cute. So just, you know what? Give me permission to roast. It'll make me feel better. Okay. So The Lost Boys, 1987.
Oh my goodness.
This is a supernatural/comedy/horror film rated R.
Mm-hmm.
Rated R. That is important because it is still spooky.
I think it's spooky.
It is still a little scary.
It's got the spook vibes.
It does. Tagline: sleep all day, party all night, never grow old, never die. It's fun to be a vampire.
Yes.
That is what I'm fucking talking about. When I get to taglines, meet this standard. That is such a good tagline.
That's a good one.
Oh my God.
That's a good one.
That's sexy. Right? That's sexy. I'm going to take advantage of this raspy voice as much as I can.
I was around to see this at the theater.
Were you?
Yes. Okay, as a matter of fact, I even have a story about it.
Okay, give it to me.
I was in my friend's wedding, which was, I think, when did this come out? Like August?
Maybe.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah,
I recall summer vibes.
Okay.
I recall summer vibes.
I mean, that would make sense.
I think it was August, but I was in my friend's wedding and it was probably one of the few times in my life where I felt good about myself.
I was
looking good. I had a great tan. You know, the 80s hair was flowing.
With the perm perming.
Yeah. The curls were curling.
And I had
fitting.
Yeah.
And there were actually two different people in the wedding party that had their peepers on me. I had my pick of two.
A love triangle.
Who'd
you pick?
I don't think either. I don't think either.
That's the most used story I've ever heard.
But we all in this little group went to see The Lost Boys at the Green Gate Mall Theater.
No shit, the Green Gate Mall.
The Green Gate Mall Theater, was all, you know, janky and everything. But, you know, I had one on each arm. I was feeling good.
Oh my gosh, okay.
Wow.
Channeling The Lost Boys vibes.
You know, so always when I think of this movie, I'm like, it takes me back to that time.
Lord, take me back.
Fun in the sun.
Oh, shit. All right, this was written by Jeffrey Boehm, Jan Fisher, and James Jeremias. Those are some cool names.
I like those names.
A fan of those. And directed by Joel Schumacher.
There he is, Joel.
We've talked about him before.
We have.
Because I've done St. Elmo's Fire.
Yes.
And I love St. Elmo's Fire. And I believe he did that right before this. So he was just fucking knocking it out of the park. I love Joel.
Yeah. Mwah,
10 out of 10. We'll get to him later. All right. Here's the cast.
Yeah.
Jason Patrick as Michael Emerson.
Love it.
And I'm going to say it right now. This was the first time I watched this movie where I was like, wow, he is acting his ass off. Like, I've always thought the whole cast is stacked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a great cast. But wow, Jason Patrick.
I mean,
he is really good.
Yeah. I mean, he comes from those acting chops, you know.
I know you're going to say
it. I have to say it.
Go ahead.
You say it.
No, I don't want to. I don't even fucking remember, but you're going to tell me. Go ahead.
That his grandfather was Jackie Gleason.
Yeah.
You know, to the moon, Alice.
No, not
Power
of us young
right
in the
kisser. Right in the kisser. Well, and then his dad
back in my day. No, I'm just kidding.
His dad was the priest in The Exorcist.
Okay, yeah. That's pretty sick.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah, normally my eyes are always on Kiefer. Like
always,
normally he's always on Kiefer. And they still were. One eye was going to Kiefer. But one eye remained on Michael this time.
There you go.
Jason Patrick.
There you go.
10 out of 10, buddy. Corey Haim. Sam Emerson. I love Corey Haim.
You do. I have always loved Corey Haim.
I love Corey Feldman too.
The Coreys.
I love them both, but I've always had a really soft spot for Corey Haim.
Mm.
I'd like to talk about him
Troubled
more.
Troubled youth.
You know what? Speak to my heart.
Magnet.
Diane Weist? West? Do we do this every
time? I think
it's
Weist.
Weist.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds love like her. Yeast, like a yeast donut. Diane Weist, we love her. From Practical Magic.
Yeast infection.
Oh my God. Despite what Lord just said, we do love
yeast
you.
Donut.
We do. Yeah, I want donut. God. What's wrong with you? Diane Weist, my apologies.
It's like a Rorschach test.
I know.
What comes to your mind first?
I feel like we need to make like one of those quizzes or tests that we always take, like, are you a Laura or are you a Lee? Because we have very different...
We do.
We're like the same, but so different. Okay. Diane Weist.
Yeah.
We so love great. Her. We love her.
Love her.
She is Lucy Emerson, the mom.
Yeah.
Bernard Hughes as Grandpa.
Love him.
Love him. Kiefer Sutherland as David. He's never looked better. You know what? He was looking good in Stand By Me, though, too. If you have, we've talked about this. If you bleach your hair
instantaneously
and then you add a dangly earring, fucking hell. And no one does dangly earring like George Schumacher and George Michael. I love a dangly earring. I'm going to get one for Jake. That's going to be a gift for me to me. Jamie Gertz as Star.
Oh, she's beautiful.
And I genuinely mean this. I think she is the most beautiful character. Like, I just think from start to finish in this movie, she is so beautiful. She's so beautiful. She has the prettiest hair. Love
I think
her.
She emulates the style that I always wished I could have. I love her style in this.
I know you do.
The skirts.
You know what? You have like a similar vibe.
Yeah.
And you have the pretty curly hair. Come on, Lord. Come on.
You know, I can only put it in this messy bun right now. I
love
don't even
a messy
know.
Bun. Messy
been,
buns are in.
It's been like a year since it's been cut. It's like, it's just unruly.
We've put out the call before and we'll do it again. Could someone in Pittsburgh please help us with our hair? Thank you. Thank you.
It's unruly.
Brooke McCarter is Paul. Sorry I roasted you earlier, Paul. Billy Worth is Dwayne.
Yes.
Also has some we've got some luscious
got
locks
some luscious
in this
locks.
Movie.
Yeah.
Speaking of, we've got Alex Winter is Marco.
Those luscious locks. Those are not luscious
when
locks.
When I tell you, first of all, he's the one that scared me when I was little.
Those are some bad hair extensions.
His hair is fucking, it looks like a jellyfish. It's like super curly on top. And then he has like really curly
extensions.
Like what on earth were they doing to his hair?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I do not know. That is the one thing I can say. You said that they're supposed to be looking timeless, but those dudes, the mullets.
I think only, no, see the mullets are back in lore, but Alex Winters was the only questionable one. It was like, when was that a thing? You know? He's trying to start something and it didn't land for Lee. We've got Corey Feldman as Edgar Frog. There's the other Corey. We've got Jameson Newlander as Alan Frog, the Frog Brothers. Obviously, Edgar and Alan are a nod to Edgar Allan Poe.
Yes.
Cute. Edward Herman is Max.
I love
Edward Herman so much.
R.I.P.
And we've got Cody the dog as Nanook. Okay, so if you don't know, this is where Nanook got his name. Mm-hmm. Because this has been my favorite movie since I was little. And I always looked at the dog, like the relationship between Sam and the Nanook is really what stands out to me in this movie. Like even when I watch it now, I was like, wow, the dog isn't in that many scenes, but you just can feel their bond.
Yeah.
Like so strong.
There's a very strong difference between Nanook in the movie. I watched this last night and I was like, wow, this dog is really well behaved.
Well, yeah, he was an actor dog. Okay. He knew how to follow cues. Leave mine alone. He was the worst and the best. The scene at one point, one of the characters is like, Nanook, can you stop breathing on me? And I was like, that, yeah, accurate.
Somebody's breath stinks.
Okay. So here is your rundown. I just went very like intuitive with this. I didn't even reread my notes like I usually do. So you're just getting stream of consciousness.
There you go.
You know,
it's
whatever.
I'll come together.
All right. We open pretty strong, in my opinion, with a bird's eye or bat's eye view.
Ooh,
see what I did there?
Ha-ha.
of the Santa Carla boardwalk. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where we see a group of four sexy, mysterious guys getting into a tussle with some couple while taking a spin on the merry-go-round. Yes. Love this intro when they're like slow-mo walking on the
film. Oh my gosh. It's so good, right?
So fucking good.
It gives and they merry-go-rounds all good. A whole new look.
So it does. Mm-hmm. And merry-go-rounds, I think, are a very like underused creepy tool. Like yeah. they really creep me out.
Yeah.
And if you think about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, something, which was heavily influenced by yeah. this movie, and you yeah. think they're on the merry-go-round yeah. and there's something really yeah. creepy
something
about them.
Something wicked this way comes. Yeah. What comes to mind?
It's the music, I think.
Yeah.
It's the music. Is it
Calliope? Is that what it is?
I don't know, but it's given creepy.
Yeah.
Okay. So the four are kicked off of the boardwalk because mm-hmm. they're in this fight.
Yeah.
And everything seems to calm down. Mm-hmm. But as the security guard is walking to his car that night, he is attacked Yikes. By an unseen creature.
He sharts his pants.
He does shart his pants. He was acting his ass off too. Okay. Cut to the Emerson family. Mm-hmm. We've got recently divorced Mama Lucy, mm-hmm. older brother Michael. Looking good. I mean, he's got the hair. He is very much Jim Morrison-esque.
Oh, very, okay. Yeah.
Little brother Sam, yeah. fashionista. Fashionista Sam.
What is that fashion?
I love Sam so much.
Should we talk about it?
He's one of my all-time favorite characters, I think. Sam, I love him. At one point, he's wearing like the most 80s trench coat color I have ever seen in my life.
The color blocked...
He loved a color block. Oh, he really gosh. Did. And we've got Sam's dog / best friend, Nanook, who mm-hmm. goes everywhere that Sam goes.
Yes.
The family is just arriving in Santa Carla after the divorce. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the kids, especially Sam, mm-hmm. aren't too happy about it.
No.
It smells bad.
They're coming from Arizona.
Yeah. It smells bad. And it's known as the murder capital of the world.
Yikes.
Okay. So yeah, I wouldn't really be too excited about that either. I wouldn't be hip on that.
They have to go live with their grandpa.
I was going
to
say, plus they'll be staying with grandpa, Lucy's dad. And he's like a little spunky.
He's a character.
He's such a good character. He's into taxidermy. So yes. there's like fucking dead animals yeah. everywhere. He doesn't have a television.
No, but he reads the TV guide.
But he reads the TV guide and he won't share his root beer or Oreo
or his
cookies.
Or his boppers. I saw this in his old fart.
He has like a section of the fridge that's labeled old fart. Yeah, that's how I'm trying to be when I'm older.
They still make
don't
peanut butter
my
boppers.
Fucking food. I've never. I don't even
his
know
root beer. And peanut
his
butter
root beer.
Boppers.
I don't even know what a bopper is.
His double stuffed Oreos,
dude. A double stuffed is maybe too much cream. That's how Ooh, I think. No. I like it. I like the holiday. The holiday Oreos have the perfect ratio of cream to cookie. There, I said it. And that's all I have to say about it. So at this point, you're going to see what I think is like the best movie intro sequence mm-hmm. of all time. One of the best. Okay. Yeah. It's set to People Are Strange.
Yeah.
And the Emersons are arriving on the boardwalk. Okay. And yeah. they're just showing you like the people.
Yes.
It was actually filmed in Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, Santa yeah. Carla isn't
right.
real. But, you know, it's very different from like what they're used to.
Yeah.
It's a different vibe.
Different vibe.
Yeah, especially for Sam. Again, he's like, at one point, he is wearing a shirt that says, like, born to shop. So he was like a little posh kid, and he's arriving into a more, like, alternative lifestyle. Little Sam. The fam tries to get in the Santa Carla spirit by visiting the boardwalk later that night. Mm-hmm. Okay, and what they did not expect was to arrive at the concert of a fucking lifetime. We've got the sexy sax man, Tim Capello.
There he is.
There's a lot of grease.
All greased up with his chain.
He is greased up. Like, he is glistening. You could see him from a fucking mile away.
Talk about some and curly locks. Mullet.
That is a mullet. And you know what? It looks good. And he has, like, the chain, and he's playing the sax. Flames fucking every. I mean, it is a fucking sick ass concert. Everyone in the crowd
He's
is
bopping.
Banging their head. He's wearing like purple Zubas. I mean, fuck yes. Tim Capello. I still believe. If you don't know gosh. What we're talking about, you have to go
you
and
look
see
it up. Yeah.
While enjoying the sweet sounds of
the
Tim
sweet,
Capello,
sweet sax.
The sweet, sexy sounds.
We know Joel
sax.
Likes the sax.
You know, same Joel. Same.
Dangly
me and you have
sax.
That in common. If you don't know, the first time I ever saw Fact Check Jake, he was playing a saxophone. He was. Slip a dangly earring in there, and I would have married him on the spot. my voice just went up like, oh, it's hot.
Couple octaves.
Shit. Okay, Michael, while at the concert, notices a girl named Star. Okay, this, I love her introduction. She just, her hair looks so beautiful. Pretty. She's dancing. Sam notices a comic book shop. That's what more interested in. And Lucy notices a job opening at the video shop.
Of course. Hey. Score.
You know what kind of sick. You know what? I was like, yeah.
Have some of those.
On the boardwalk?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, they go off in their separate directions. Lucy gets the job. Mm-hmm. Sam meets Edgar and Alan Frog, mm-hmm. who give him a comic all about vampires.
Yeah.
They're just like, read this.
I think I am actually in the movie.
Where?
I'm Edgar and Alan's parent.
Stop it. Just like sitting
just in the corner.
Sleeping in the corner. Yeah, again, mom and
that's
dad
how I'm trying to be.
Through the entire movie.
Yeah, exactly.
In their hippie gear.
Oh my God, that is you.
And Michael chases after Star.
Of course,
we learn she runs with the Carousel Boys, as I'm going to call them.
The Carousel Boys.
That we met at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, the sexy boys. Yeah. So for their next boardwalk trip, Michael realizes he has to come a little more correct. Okay. He invests in a leather jacket and
a dangly earring.
I mean, what? There's a formula.
Complete.
There's a formula, and it's right here. This explains so much. Like, this movie is what I saw.
George Michael just, is watching that one day.
Everything I'm attracted to is from this movie. Like, it formed so much of my personality. Yeah. It's kind of insane. Okay, this catches the attention of Star. She's like, what are you doing what are you doing with that earring?
Nah, I see you.
Like it. She's like, let me pierce your ear. And her bad boyfriends are liking this. Okay. We've got David, mm-hmm. who is the sexy leader. He's got an even danglier earring. It's a little longer, if you know what I mean. And he's got the bleached blonde mullet. Yes.
Spiked
and
up.
Him and Star seem to be kind of
a couple.
Yes. Then we've got his minions, Dwayne, Paul, and Marco. And we've already talked about their hair. Yeah. I won't talk about it again. Long story short, an intense motorcycle chase ensues between David's group and Michael.
Yes.
And the gang all ends up back at the boys' underground lair, which is so fun. I love
that poster, Jim Morrison.
Like, cave. Love it so much. As the group shares a Chinese food meal, this is like one of the iconic scenes, it becomes clear to Michael that something is amok.
It's only noodles, Michael.
Okay, the rice is turning into maggots.
Yeah.
The noodles are turning into worms. And David is insisting that he takes a swig of some wine.
Wine.
That's like presented to him in this very ancient looking bottle. He's like, just take a little sip.
And you know what?
This.
The viscosity. Nope.
I would have been suspect.
It was too thin and it looked pink in that bottle.
It looked like Kool-Aid a little bit. they could have done it up just a little more.
The viscosity was not on par.
But David keeps saying something like, be one of us. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And at that point,
he's like, I got the dangly earring and the leather coat. What more do you want?
I'm in. Give me that bottle. Drink up, bitches. Michael thinks it's all some sort of joke because they were like kind of tricking him and messing with his mind. So he drinks from the fancy chalice or whatever the fuck that was. Despite Star saying, hey, that's blood.
Don't do it.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
They end the night with a little bridge dropping ritual. Mm. Love it. And Michael suddenly wakes up in his bed.
Like if that wasn't a red flag. Holy crap.
He probably thought he was just flying a little high. Maybe they slipped a little ecstasy in the wine. You know what I mean? He's probably like, what's going on? Probably didn't go straight to vampire. Spoiler alert.
Oh, jeez.
And so when Michael drops from the bridge, okay, they're like hanging on and David does this speech. When Michael drops, he wakes up
in his bed
and he doesn't know what the fuck happened.
Right.
So from here on out, Michael is different. He's got a little bit of an attitude.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of an attitude. A little more coiffed.
Slicks back the curls.
A little more coiffed. Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna take care of myself a little more.
He's got those shades on that if you look at him, I'm like.
And this is where I said he's acting his ass off because you can like see the transformation he's making on his face. Like he really is doing some cool work with his, right?
Yeah.
Am I just,
aesthetically, they're not showing you that he's a vampire.
You're kind of just getting it from his mannerisms and stuff and his style. And it really, it's like subtle, but it's not.
Powerful.
I don't know. I think he did so good.
Yeah.
He's sleeping all day. Okay. He has no reflection in the mirror. That's kind of a problem. And he even tries to attack Sam while he's taking his bubble bath. I love that. He's like, go take your bath. If you wanted to know what life was like between me and Nanook, that scene pretty much sums it up. If I was in the bathtub or the shower or on the toilet, I mean, he was right there. I love that because that's so like accurate to a husky. They have to like protect their pack. And he was just always right outside of my shower. Mm-hmm. And this bathroom we're in now is so small. Every time I step down, I'm like, motherfucker. Oh my God. But yeah, so taking a bath. Michael comes in and tries to maybe attack Sam, but Nanook stops him.
Yep.
And with that, Sam and Michael face the music.
They tussle.
Okay, Michael is a creature of the night. A goddamn shit-sucking vampire.
My own brother.
Wait until I tell mom, buddy. Michael goes to Star for help.
Yeah.
And she helps him all right. She helps him all right. I love this sex scene. This is what I want in a sex scene. You don't fucking see anything crazy.
No.
All right, we're not getting a little too graphic.
I just see lots of like draperies.
See a lot of like, it's very music video-esque, which I did read like was intentional because at the time this was filmed, like music video.
Yeah,
like,
we're a big fan.
Yeah, so like the edits of them having sex are like, it's very, I don't know, sexual.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And they
without
put it to,
being like in your face.
Without being in your face. And it's set to Cry Little Sister, which is like the theme song. So, I just
love
10
that
out of 10.
Song. Yeah.
And Sam seeks guidance from the Frog Brothers.
Of course.
Who are very aware of Santa Carla's vampire problem. Okay.
Big problem.
The brothers tell him that if they kill the head vampire, in theory, all half vampires should turn back to normal. So that would include Michael.
Of course.
So that's what they set out to do. Okay. Mm-hmm. Even though they don't know who the head vampire is.
Dun, dun, dun.
So here's where I'm going to try to speed round wrap up. And while I'm looking at it, it doesn't look speedy, but I'm going to try.
Okay.
Sam and the Frog Brothers think that Mama Lucy's new love interest, Max, who is the video store owner.
His glasses.
Edward Herman.
Hilarious.
Hilarious. So adorable. He's wearing like a tweed jacket. Yes. Come on, tweed. They think he's the head vampire.
His jacket is like shoulder pads.
It's
and, hilarious.
The shoulder pads could not have been bigger in this movie. But he passes all of the Frog Brothers tests.
Yeah.
Okay. So they roll him out. Like they try to hit him with holy water,
garlic
you know.
And mirror so reflection.
They think he's out.
Yeah.
David and the boys take Michael to a little bonfire feast. Iconic, where Michael is supposed to fully become a vampire by feeding, but he doesn't do it. He's like fighting it. Okay.
He does not give in to the peer pressure.
After he tries to attack Sam, which I really like, because there is like a really good
bond.
Brotherly bond between the two of them.
He's trying to get his shit together.
Yeah. But can I keep the coiffed hair and the glasses and the leather jacket? Instead, he goes to Sam for help now. Okay. So now they're all working together.
Yes.
Sam, Michael, the Frog Brothers, Star and Laddie, who is like a little vampire.
Yes.
I love Laddie.
Not yet.
He's a little half vampire.
Yeah.
And so is Star.
Mm-hmm.
They're all on a race to kill David, who they are now assuming
is the head,
the head vampire.
He's the head man in charge.
With hair like that, you gotta be the head vampire.
That's right.
So after some casualties, rest in peace, Marco.
Oh, bummer.
This scene scared me as a
Marco
kid,
toes.
Okay, because they're like hanging down from their crusty vampire toes.
Yes, during the day.
And they end up killing Marco, but his hair.
Oh my gosh.
The way it's dangling is so funny. I was like cracking the fuck up.
I love that they're all covered in glitter. It's glitter blood.
So they, that's one of like the fun facts is they put glitter in the blood so that it would kind of like stand out a little bit, but it is so glittery, but I love it. It's so 80s.
I know. I'm sure you're going to talk about this because I feel like this is the first movie that, you know, represents vampires in somewhat of a, like a sexy.
It definitely turned things around a little bit. Not
Twilight. Opened the door for Twilight.
Right. It leaned on the classic trope of, you know, Dracula, like that sex appeal. It really turned it up.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
So the war is on after Marco's death.
Yeah.
Okay. And our gang, Home Alone's grandpa's house. Okay. They like, you know, put a bunch of traps everywhere. They've got holy water, fire, garlic. You name it.
Yeah.
Okay. David, Dwayne, and Paul arrive at the house and a final showdown commences.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Paul takes a nice little holy water bath thanks to Nanook.
Yes.
This was always my favorite scene.
Gosh. Yes.
He's almost getting the Frog Brothers and Nanook jumps in and pushes
the nails.
The vampire. Yeah, he's crusty.
Crusty nails.
You're crusty, Dave.
Wayne takes an arrow to the gut and it like pushes him into a stereo, and that's the coolest death in the movie, stereo, in my opinion. Oh, death by stereo. At one point, blood is like spilling up from the sinks and shit. This is where I say it is kind of a scary
Grandpa's
movie.
Grandpa's gonna need some renovations.
I think, you know what, let's just demolish it. You know what, let's rest in peace. David and Michael have one last dick waving contest, is what I call this. Mm-hmm. Literally, there is some sexual tension between these two, I will say. And this ends with David being impaled on a set of deer antlers.
Yes.
Because Grandpa just had a stack laying around, of course. And we think that means that this is all said and done, right? Because we think he's the head vampire.
Yes.
Nope. Fucking surprise, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
David was not.
Did not
the
see
head
that
vampire.
Coming.
Max, Edward Herman.
Oh, no.
So when I tell you, like, Edward Herman was the most unsuspecting actor to put in this role.
Yes.
Because it's Edward Herman.
Right. And then he passed all the tests, which is that
and
just
then he
gave
passed
you this
all
double
the
seal.
So he tells them that when he was invited into the Emerson's home, it rendered them powerless. So that's how he passed all the tests, which I think is a cool.
I like that.
You don't hear that a lot.
No, I like that.
So then you realize Max is the head vampire. He fucking vamps out and his so creepy.
He wants, he wants Lucy.
Yeah. He wants to make Lucy his vampire queen.
Vampiress.
For her to take care of his lost boys.
Oh.
Which is like, Kind of sweet. You know, that's kind of sweet. Pop, can you hear me? Wait, that's kind of cute. Okay, just as Max is about to bite Lucy, Grandpa busts his car into the side of the house, and Max is fatally wounded by some debris. Rest in peace to Max and Edward Herman.
Bye-bye.
Gramps gets out of the car and declares, "One thing about living in Santa Carla, I never could stomach all the damn vampires."
Yes.
The end.
Cut scene.
Love that ending.
So
I think
good.
That is like one of the strongest endings because it's like Grandpa. And like
he
throughout
the
movie,
time.
You kind of see Grandpa like creeping,
lurking around
and you realize that he knew
he
this
knew.
Whole time. It's like, motherfucker.
He's been plotting.
Information that could have been brought to my attention
yesterday. He just wasn't telling anybody. Yeah.
That is The Lost Boys. Oh my God. Come on. That's good.
So good.
That's so good.
I mean, it's just such a great movie.
It really does hold up.
Mm-hmm.
Here are some random thoughts I had just, you know, of partially like why I love this movie. The lighting and the color palette.
Very nice.
So good. There's a lot of red. You'll see a lot of red lighting, but it adds to that sexiness of it. And like when they're on the boardwalk, the color of the lights
the
and
gold,
it's just
like the gold light.
I don't know. I feel like it really like you feel like you're in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
I did mention the music video style editing. It's not just in that sex scene. It's kind of like when he drinks the blood.
And yes.
There's a lot of those like layering techniques that is used in
I
music
feel like
videos.
Joel produced some videos.
I think he probably, so I am going to, we're going to do a Witch Whisper on Joel. Yeah. Because fascinating.
Yeah, okay.
I just found out through my research that he was very openly gay.
Yeah.
I did not know that, but it explains so much because both St. Elmo's Fire and this are so queer coded.
Yeah.
And it just like is like, oh, duh.
Light bulb.
But so I really want to like learn more about him. Because I would be willing to bet he did some music videos.
Ooh.
Seemed very much his vibe.
Yeah.
The fashion. For the most part, I think it will always hold up. And that's because, and I know I talked about this in, you know,
the last one,
but that episode's trash. So I'm going to say it again. They were made to look like timeless. Like they have lived for a long time and their outfits are collections of pieces that they've gotten throughout history. So you can't look at them and put them at a specific time.
Yeah.
They look timeless. I mean, it's just to me, it's so simple, but
exactly.
Not like their outfits are so fucking good. Marco's jacket.
That's so cool.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
I know V. Neal worked on like the effects.
Oh, did she?
And I think some of the costumes, which if you know anything about V. Neal, she's like a fucking queen in that world.
Oh,
so
it
just is so, I think there's nothing like it.
I agree.
I'm sure
I absolutely
it's because
agree.
This movie is important to me, but it's just, I feel like not like the fashion is just so good.
Yeah.
So good. Again, Jason Patrick's performance really stole the show for me this time. And just, how much Nanook was like, they made him his own character.
Yeah.
Which I think, like I said, like how Nanook or Nanook was such a huge part. Like he wasn't a background character. Neither was he in this movie. Like even at the end, he comes and saves the day. Like I just, that was always really, I think that's probably partially why I wanted this type of dog.
Yeah.
Like I just, I don't know.
Yeah.
You could, so true. Like, yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
So those are kind of my random thoughts.
Okay.
But that's The Lost Boys. I mean, I cannot recommend it enough. It is my all-time favorite movie. Yeah. I don't see that changing.
No, I don't think so either.
No, I think it's responsible for a lot of my personality, I'm realizing. I've based my whole personality off this movie. It's never changing. I think
it's interesting, though, because it was a very important movie to me. Otherwise, you wouldn't have seen it at such an early age.
No, exactly. Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, you watched it. I guess I never thought about watching it a lot.
Yeah.
It was just always part of my... Yeah, it's like honestly one of my earliest memories, which is insane to think about, right? Is sneaking down the stairs to watch this movie.
Yeah.
And it was the campfire scene.
Always.
And I was like, this is terrifying. I love it. I want more. Fuck yes.
Oh my gosh.
Would you like some fun and random facts?
Yes.
I may have said some of these in the last one, but again, I didn't even go and listen to that because it's trash. I didn't want to traumatize myself anymore. The film was shot in 21 days, which is wild to me.
Crazy.
It is implied in sequels, which we don't talk about here.
No.
They're all so bad.
Yes.
I don't just... Don't even say anything to me about that. People have tried to convince me otherwise. And I'm like, shh.
Nope.
No,
so bad.
You just stop.
So bad.
It's implied though that David did not actually die when he was impaled.
Ah.
Hence why he didn't like disintegrate or combust like the rest of them.
Yeah.
So,
into
I don't know.
A glittery fanfare.
You know what? When I go out, if I don't burst into a fucking glitter pile, what was the point of any of this? There was supposed to be a sequel called The Lost Girls, which that's
never came to fruition.
No, but I think maybe David would have played a role in that. Maybe. I don't know. The
would
title
for reprise.
You know what? It wouldn't have been the same.
Give him a ring.
Hello, Keith. Come on in, buddy. Get out that dangly earring. Dust it off. And the mullet. I wonder if he has the mullet wig. Was it a wig? It wasn't a wig. Was it a wig?
I don't
know the answer to that.
I don't think so.
It looked so natural.
I think it was probably not a wig.
Oh my God, I loved it so much. The title is a reference to the companions of Peter Pan, who never grow old.
Mm-hmm.
And the original screenplay actually had a more like Peter Pan Goonies vibe. Like they were a lot younger.
Okay, not
as
scary.
It was a little more, you know, that kind of coming of age
like
tale.
Action instead of horror.
And Joel Schumacher said... I have something sexier in mind. And so he made them, you know, teens.
Yeah.
And he stated when asked, why did you make this movie? Vampires are the only erotic monster. They're hot.
Oh.
I love Joel.
I mean,
I feel like me and Joel
lay it on the line, my friend.
Say, he's like, what else do you want for their hot? But I mean, that is part of Dracula's tale, right?
Yeah,
and like the vampire. So I really like that this movie is one of the first, I think, that really leaned on that.
Yeah.
And then you started to see, you know,
interesting
the Twilights and shit. The entire movie is seen as queer coded. I did mention that, but specifically the character of Sam.
Of course.
I've said it before and I'll
say
it again.
Was it the poster of Rob Lowe?
It may have been the poster of Rob Lowe.
Was
it
may
have been the
Swatch
Watch. It may, but he also had a poster of Molly Ringwald. So you know what?
You know, hey.
You know what? I love Sam. I love Sam so much. And the Born to Shop t-shirt.
You love it.
And he's like, I can't go to the mall. Oh God, I just love him so much. Joel Schumacher, again, was an openly gay man. Sadly, he passed away in 2020 from cancer.
Oh, bummer.
But speaking of that Rob Lowe poster.
Yeah.
Okay, he did just work with Rob Lowe. I thought I was right in that.
On St. Elmo's Fire.
On St. Elmo's Fire in 1985.
Oh,
and this
okay.
was 87. So that was like a little
there
nod
you go.
To old Robbie Rob.
Robbie Rob.
Love it. Cody, the dog who played Nanook, was actually an Alaskan Malamute.
Oh my goodness.
Not a husky.
Yes.
I always just assumed. And they're very similar dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They look very similar too. I mean, you can go into how they're different, but I thought that was, I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness.
And he was born in Bellingham, Washington.
Ah.
How cool is that?
Yeah, not far from Seattle, huh?
No, this was his first movie appearance. Cute. And Max's dog, I didn't mention him in my description, but Max had Thorn. A dog, Thorn. He was a white German shepherd, if you wanted to know.
Interesting.
Santa Carla is actually Santa Cruz, and it was once known as the murder capital of the world. That was kind of like not a lie.
All right. Wow.
So there you go.
There you go.
Supposedly the movie is screened every year on the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk in the summer.
Oh, cool.
That would be fun trip to take.
Oh my gosh. Does everybody dress like the Lost Boys?
If you could dress like Sam. I was going to say Tim Capello. I was going to say, get me the grease. I'll make Jake be Tim Capello. And again, I'll be the saxophone.
I mean,
but if I can't be the sax, then I will be Sam.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sure I have the wardrobe in my closet. I went and looked.
Probably.
The Iron Horse Trailhead Trestle Bridge, that was a mouthful, where the vampires dangle is about 40 minutes north of Los Angeles. I will include a link. Like, there are a lot of filming locations around California. Yeah,
that you can interesting.
Visit. This was the
put it on the list.
Put it on the list. I really want to do a California trip. I want to feel that sun.
Yeah.
Fun in the sun.
Fun in the sun.
This was the two Coreys' first film together.
Yeah.
Obviously, they would continue to buddy up after this. They kind of became, synonymous with each other.
The dynamic duo.
Is that the right word?
Synonymous? Yeah.
Oh my God. One, look at me, scholarly.
I know. You are scholarly.
Don't forget Dream a Little Dream, which I've talked about. That movie is such a good one. Hilarious. This film popularized the saying vamp out. Which was commonly used on the series Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So when they look
vampy,
like a normal person, and then they like transform real quick and they vamp out. So Joss Whedon, you know, the Buffy guy, was heavily inspired by this film and how monsters could look like everyday people 1 second and then vamp out the next second. Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Tim Capello.
He's still trucking.
One of our listeners messaged me and said that they were on a boat.
And Tim Capello was there?
And Tim Capello came out and was doing like an I Still Believe Lost Boys boat tour or something. I was like, what? So I have to investigate that because why am I not there? Tim Capello, I will work for you in some way. Just let me be on that boat.
I'll shine your saxophone.
I'll clean the boat. Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, I'll shine the sax. I'll grease you up.
Dirty.
But Timmy C toured with Tina Turner's band in the mid 80s.
Wonder if he sells them all.
I think he does still have the mullet. I've seen him on social media, and I believe that he was on, what's that site where you can pay for like little videos?
Cameo.
I think he's on Cameo.
Will he do the sax for you?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
he's
awesome.
Known for the sax lore.
Awesome.
The name Michael is said approximately 118 times.
Dang.
I think that's funny because it is noticeable that they say his name a lot. Jim Carrey was in the running for David, LOL.
No.
Because he had previously played a vampire in Once Bitten. Very different movies.
Very different.
A Once Bitten poster can be seen in Max's video shop, which I think is cute.
I love that movie.
Hey, little automotive talk for you.
Yeah.
Grandpa's car is a 1957 Ford Fairlane 500 Skyliner retractable hardtop.
Holy shit. That's a mouthful.
Get my tools. I don't know what car people say.
I don't know. Is that that's a classic.
Rev up the engine. I don't know. I don't know. Someone might find that interesting. He was very particular about his car.
Yes.
So I thought I'd include that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Laddie. I don't know if a lot of people catch this. So Laddie, the little half vampire, he is the missing kid that can be seen on the milk
on
carton.
The milk carton.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people don't
catch that. The Attack of Eddie Monster.
I know. So, there's so many good one-liners in this movie. Cry Little Sister was a big hit and has supposedly been sampled countless times. I didn't like double check this, but I guess Eminem and Mobb Deep have like sampled the song.
Wow.
But the song was created specifically for this soundtrack.
Yeah,
and it is so good.
This soundtrack is
the best.
I was just listening to it the other day.
I could do, and I'm sure I will at some point, I could do a whole other fucking episode on how fantastic I think this soundtrack is.
This is a perfect example of how music just
becomes its own character.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just fucking banger after it's banger. I don't so even, good. Yeah, it's just so fucking yeah. good. We listen to it quite often. Mm-hmm. When we, you know, drove Nanook for the last time to, yeah. you know, the doctor, we drove through the city and we put on the Lost Boys soundtrack. Mm. Yeah, I don't, it's just so good. Yeah. It makes you, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we did that in celebration because, you mm-hmm. know, this was his namesake. And I see why. Like, see, I'm even smiling yeah. now at the yeah. end of it. I'm like, this, it makes sense to me. This movie yeah. was so important to me. Yeah. It was like partially why I fell in love with film, and I think it's why I fell in love with that type of dog.
Yeah.
Because it just, I very much resonated with the character of Sam.
Yeah.
That could be, you know, I just,
that's a
whether
whole
it's because Corey Haim or I don't know, but yeah. I just, there's like a loneliness to the character mm-hmm. at certain points in the yeah. movie that I, as a kid, always felt. And yeah. I just saw him with his dog
yeah.
and everywhere yeah. he went, that dog was right there. And I was like,
yep.
I want that dog.
Yeah.
And, I got that.
Yeah.
So I feel very lucky.
Yeah.
Cause he was my best friend. He was my like companion and mm-hmm. I feel very honored
yeah.
that I got to have that relationship. Mm-hmm. So there you go. That's there for Nanook.
There you go.
I don't have a drink, but I will clink my coffee.
All right.
Cheers.
In your Lost Boys mug.
In my Lost Boys yeah. mug. That is the plot.
All right. So that means I'm taking up the lesson today.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm not going to cry because I've kept it together this whole time.
No, you were tearing up over there, you little bitch. You little liar. Well,
but I wasn't like sobbing.
Like I wasn't sobbing. Cedric Diggory's dad, my boy. There's been some of that this
week.
Well,
here's the thing. I get a text from you last night at like, what was it? Like midnight? And you're like, oh my gosh, guess what? It's a Malamute.
I said Nanook was a Malamute.
And
which
all
I think I probably knew.
For
but
all of these years, I just thought he was a husky.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, well, I'm not changing it.
Laura, well, okay. So you're going to have to give us a little bit of a pass.
So I am. Yeah. So I am going to say that the two breeds are very similar.
Yeah.
So I went in and I looked. So both are pack animals and okay. sled dogs.
Right.
All okay. right. They were both bred as Arctic working dogs.
Okay.
The Malamute is considered the closest descendant of the wolf. So that's probably okay. why they used the Malamute.
Are they a little bigger? They seem a little bigger.
Yeah, here's the main differences between the two.
Okay.
It's the size.
Okay.
So the Husky is leaner because Huskies were bred for speed. They were bred to haul lighter loads at a very fast pace.
Yeah.
Where the Malamute was bred to carry heavier loads at a slow, steady pace.
Oh, interesting.
So they're a little huskier.
Okay. Oh, right. Oh, well.
There's about a 10-15 pound difference between the dogs.
I noticed that just watching this when I read that he was a Malamute. I was like, okay, because he looked just sitting next to Corey Haim a lot bigger
yeah.
than like most huskies.
Yeah. Both breeds have the thick double coat,
mm-hmm.
But the Malamute tends to have longer hair than the husky.
Okay.
So a little bushier.
Yeah.
Both have the same color combos and they both have like the same, like the eye thing. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're both overly friendly, they'll lick you to death, so probably not the best guard dogs, as we know.
Oh my god, no. I mean, you might have been scared by Nanook if you came mm-hmm. into our space because he was just so loud and wild,
yeah.
but he wanted to just be nice to
oh,
you.
Yeah, he just wanted, to lick you to death.
Oh, right. My friend, yay!
Right, exactly. Yes, but for the intents and purposes of our episode today, and the fact that we've always thought that Nanook in the movie was a husky,
well, I mean. This is our Nanook's episode. Yeah. So give us a little bit of a pass because yeah. I asked Lore. I did. Mm-hmm. I said, could you talk about like the magic of the husky? Mm-hmm. Because I just yeah. would like to learn yeah. a little bit in his honor. And I thought, you know, we could all do that together.
All right. So the Siberian Husky originates out of the northeast of Asia.
Okay.
By, and hopefully I say this right, the Chukchi people of Siberia.
Okay.
As sled dogs and companion animals.
Companion animals.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So intimately did they live alongside their human families that their nature became kind and gentle. Uh-huh. As part of living together with their families, they became responsible for guarding the Chukchi children and keeping them warm during the long freezing nights because the temperatures would go to 100 degrees below Fahrenheit.
Oh my
the
God.
Winds were terrible. So the conditions were terrible.
Right.
I hope I'm saying this right. I really do. The Chukchi people would decide based on the temps how many huskies to assign each child.
Oh
and
my
this
gosh.
Is where the term three dog night comes from.
Are you
so,
kidding?
Yeah. So if it was really cold, there
right.
was a three dog night.
It was a three dog night.
So and you might know the band name Three Dog Night, right?
Yeah.
One is the... That's a Harry Nilsson tune. Okay. He did it first. All right.
Way to roast Three Dog Night.
I love Three Dog Night.
I know you do.
Anyway, the Chukotka sled dogs are the ancestor of the Siberian Husky, and they date back to prehistoric times. Oh. Yeah, they were used to pull sleds in the extreme cold, the harsh environment of the Siberian Arctic, pulling sleds and hunting on the oceanic pack ice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But beginning in the 1890s through the 1930s, the Huskies made their way to Alaska to transport miners to the Yukon during the Klondike Gold Rush. And eventually, they realized how good they were at pulling sleds and began racing them.
Okay.
The Siberian...
We can take advantage of this.
There we go. The Siberian Husky garnered fame and notoriety when in 1925, they transported a much-needed medicine to aid in a diphtheria outbreak, saving many lives as they sped through the treacherous terrain and the horrific conditions to reach their destination 600 miles away.
Whoa.
Like, the diphtheria was very contagious and they did not have the serum. And so they used these dogs to get...
Really?
Yeah. So the 2019 film Togo and the 1995 animated film Balto focus on the heroics of two of these real life dogs.
Yeah.
And you can even find a bronze statue erected in New York Central Park of Balto.
Really?
Yes. And the plaque inscribed reads, "Dedicated to the indomitable spirit of the sled dogs."
Oh, no.
"That relayed antitoxin 600 miles over rough ice across treacherous waters."
We're good.
"Through Arctic blizzards, from Nanana to the relief of the stricken gnome in the winter of 1925. Endurance, fidelity, and intelligence."
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay.
Damn it.
I thought I was going
to
make it.
I thought we were both going to get to the end of this without a major, we're major weepers.
Yes.
Oh God, dang it.
All right. You did say intelligence though.
I did say
didn't get that.
I'm just kidding. The Husky was so central to the lives of the Chukchi people that over the centuries, a legend developed among them that the gates of heaven were guarded.
I'm going to start getting to the point where I laugh because I'm so emotional.
"The gates of heaven were guarded by two Huskies and that they would refuse entrance to anyone that had ever been cruel to an animal."
Fuck yeah. Fuck you. You can't come in.
You can't come in. They also explained the common combo of the two different colored eyes. The brown eye was to look down at the earth while the blue looks up at the sky.
Ouch, that's really beautiful. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
All right. So what does it mean if you have a husky as your companion animal, your guide, your kindred spirit, or your familiar? You ready?
Yep.
Okay. I need an interpreter.
I think I probably am giving Chris Angel with my mascara has to be running down my face.
All right. If a husky is your kindred spirit, you have an outgoing personality. You are gentle, instinctual, intuitive, and smart. You are loyal and love unconditionally. Nature is your home, and conservation efforts are important. You are a conscious inhabitant of Mother Earth. Being comfortable and cozy are the name of the game for you.
Yes.
Symbolically, the husky represents strength and perseverance in your life and shows us that life is about doing the best we can in any given situation. It's not always the destination that's important, but the journey to get there that we learn the most important lessons. Let's face it, the journey might be long and difficult, but you have the strength and perseverance to see it through to the end. Challenges are a part of life, which can lead to exceptional outcomes and lessons through the perseverance. Huskies encourage us to embrace these challenges, stay the course. As long as you have the will to fight, you will be victorious. Stay calm and never give up. Things will be okay. The husky also represents spiritual protection. No matter where you find yourself in life, there is always someone looking out for you. Call on them for support and protection in your times of need. things will work out. The universal powers are there to assist you, but you must be willing to call on them for help. Summon your guides to show you the path of least resistance. They will answer your call and show you the way. Trust in your husky guide. Huskies are representative of a free spirit and freedom in general. They love their pack, but they also have a fun-loving free spirit. They remind us to work hard, but make sure you are making time for leisure, self-care, and emotional freedom. Find joy in the tiniest of things. They also encourage us to free ourselves from that which is holding us back. The husky encourages us to really understand the true meaning of being free. From... yeah. And I gotta go to work after this. I'm gonna look like a... All right. From our heroic tale earlier of delivering medicine in a time of need, it is no surprise that the husky represents selfless service and unconditional love. They typically spend their lives in service of their pack. They remind us to take care of the people we cherish and do the best we can for them. It may not be easy, but nothing worth having ever is. If a husky is your companion, they are symbolic of journeys incomplete. Things we can't seem to accomplish and people we can't seem to connect with on an emotional level. Pay attention to your intuitive side and let go of what no longer is serving you. Not all endings are happy ones and not all relationships are meant to last, and that's okay. Life is short to be living it according to other people's expectations.
Whoa.
Keep your eye on the prize. Don't be scared to go after your dreams and have the confidence to know that you can bring them to fruition. Get knocked down? No worries. People don't believe in you? No worries. The husky is laser focused on their end goal. No matter what, they persevere. Use your instincts to guide you. They will always lead you home. If you are dreaming of huskies pulling a sled, this indicates a journey's end, whether that be a job, a relationship, a friendship, or project you have been working on. If a husky is curled up sleeping, trust your inner voice to navigate through life's difficulties. Trust your instincts. If you dream of a pack of howling huskies, it encourages you to listen to your own voice for the truth and not the voices of others barking loudly at you. In pop culture, the husky turns up in April. I'm just going through my bullet points. I can't even like,
I mean, are we going to acknowledge that if I cannot express to you how relevant every little thing that just came out of her mouth was to my specific life right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And just like after this week, like stuff I've said to myself, like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like just, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, you can continue. All
right, I was just going to keep saying. That's what Lore does when emotions come into play.
Lore runs away.
Oh my gosh.
After this, she's not going to talk to me for like 5 hours, which is a long time. She's going to need to recoil in her.
All right. In pop culture, the husky turns up in 8 Below, Iron Will. That's a good movie.
Yeah.
Snow Dogs, Paw Patrol, Snow Buddies. All those, you know, fun loving little.
The cheese is high.
They're the mascots to numerous athletic teams, and sales rose for this breed of man's best friend with the popularity of Twilight and Game of Thrones. Just because of the, you know, relative association with wolves.
Got it.
In Parks and Rec, the husky was April Ludgate's
Animal. Yeah, I love that episode. Yeah.
Because
I've been told I'm very April Ludgate.
Yes, I can definitely see that for sure. Yeah. So here was a fun fact I got to lighten up the load a little bit.
Okay, lighten me up, girl.
And this was the very first article I found, really? And so I think it's hilarious.
Okay.
If you choose to be the owner of one of these special creatures, be aware that they suffer from what is known as Houdiniism.
Are you fucking serious?
Making them master escape artists. According to the Siberian Rescue out of Florida, they claim a husky makes Harry Houdini look like a dime store magician, stating the husky has the swiftness and intelligence that rivals our friend Harry.
Dude, they do.
They are calculating and they plan their escapes through the smallest of holes, electric fences, kennels, crates, and all manner of attempts to contain them, leaving you perplexed and bewildered at their skills of escapism.
That is so fucking funny. If that is not a message, I don't fucking... We have been getting so many little, like, that's so wild. Wow. You've Houdini'd us from beyond the grave.
You've Houdini'd us. You're over there with Harry.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, I hope you found Doyle too. Go tell him fuck you. No.
Okay, we will miss our Nanook, but we know he is still here guiding us forward with loyalty, unconditional love, and some buffoonery, of course.
Oh my God.
Just for good measure.
He, like I said, no one wanted him because he escaped. Like, he was a little, that's what they were like. He's a little escape artist.
Yeah.
And he literally, like, if we tried to keep him separate, like when the baby started walking, you know, when he had to, like, be in another room for a minute, you'd blink and he'd somehow, like, you'd look over and you're like, how the fuck did you get right next to me? Like, he was so wild.
He wasn't having any of it.
But talk about unconditional love. Love, man. I mean, there's just like, and I don't say this to be like sad or like, but I will never have anything love me in the way that he did. It's just very specific.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, we miss you. We love you. Like, you are the best. You are the best dog. I will not have, I've already told Jake, like, I'm not going to get another dog. I just know that, like, that was my...
Yeah.
That was my dog. That was my relationship. And I am like, you know, it went by so fast. It feels like, you know, and you just always think that there's more time. But we did so much together in the years that we had. And I really could not have had a better friend. So we'll miss you, buddy. Thank you for that. That was very special. That's exactly what I needed to hear. Yes. Good. Thank you.
You're welcome. I love you.
Hold your pets and your people and, I don't know, just hold it all really close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry for all the tears.
Sorry, but...
Happy tears.
You really are our community. You know what I mean? Like, it, especially in times like this, it's just very apparent that what we're doing here isn't silly. And we're making a difference, and you are making a difference to us as well. Mm-hmm. You know, seeing all of your messages when this happened, it was very comforting to know that you were all out there, like, wishing him luck on this next part of his journey, like, and knowing that you were all so magical too, like, having that energy going towards something that we loved so much. And just, it was really special, and it is special. And we're just very grateful for all of you. And sorry that you have to listen to these really sad episodes, but I mean,
I just think that there's a level of not being able to process or grieve, or there's a level of not having closure if you're just, like you said, the dancing clown. Okay, this, you know, traumatic thing happened, and then we just, like,
I'm just supposed to get on here and no, like, this is a big part of my life. I'll probably be a little funky. You might notice my mood be a little funky in the next few, you know what I mean? And we're gonna tell you, we're gonna let you in, because it's important to us, you know. Like, we're transparent people, and it would be doing him a disservice too. Like I said, we lost one of our family members, man. I'm not going to breeze past that. So just thank you for hanging out with us today. This was an important episode, and like, the fact that it was this movie, this is what we were supposed to talk about,
and it was on the calendar.
It was on the calendar. It did give me, like, it was hard to watch, on in all honesty, because the Nanook in that movie, a lot of their, like, mannerisms and, like, you know, are very similar. The coloring and so it was hard a little bit, but it was also very comforting. I'm like, anytime I miss my friend, I can just turn this movie on and remember.
Make, like, it even more special than it already
and
was.
Like, everything you just told us about that animal makes perfect sense. Like, you can feel it if you've met a husky. They just, they're special. They're a magical breed.
Yeah.
And the Malamute, I mean, all dogs.
Yeah.
I love dogs.
All animals. All of them.
All right. Hey, thank you. I just choked on my tears. I gotta go. I gotta go cry some more.
All right, everybody. We will catch you next time.
We love you.
All right. TTFN.
Cut, print, check the gate. Moving on.